Got it.
Okay.
Meow.
I got it.
Diana doesn't really know the thing about the worms. If we ever stop saying worms and say word, it means we've been contacted by the government but aren't allowed to speak about it. So, NK, go ahead, give it,
that's
mama.
That's right. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your system. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Is it working? Woo! Diana and Derek and Michael?
Yeah.
So many fiends.
I'm not going to.
Sankita knows kung fu.
Worms. And the Freedom...
Worms.
Yeah, worms.
That's right. And the Freedom Fiends is covered by a Bipcot.
What kind of Bipcot?
The Bipcot no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments.
Yeah.
Learn more.
And we're going to keep
Bipcot.org.
We're going to keep a sin flood of feminism out of people's brains, too. So before we... we're going to get into that later, but real quick, like, okay... So, feminism is dumb, but equality is not. MK, what do you have to say about that? And how did it get hijacked and win in 1972?
Okay, it was 1972. Yeah. Okay, so there are different types of feminism. Just like in any school of philosophy, you have several different types of schools of thought within that. So, with feminism, you kind of saw a split. Well, there were several splits with it. And, for instance, a big split during second wave feminism was between sex-positive feminists and sex-negative feminists. And this is where you saw people like Andrea Dworkin coming out and saying, oh, we need to ban pornography because it's bad, because it's evil, and you know,
what second wave feminism
government regulations to ban.
What wave are we on now?
I was asking for it the way I was dressed.
Sorry, go ahead.
I'm not sure what wave we're on now. Some would say post third wave or fourth wave feminism.
It's been 2 minutes and I have not been raped.
Okay, Diana, why do you start...
Sankita.
Diana, our new fiend on the scene. Diana Davidson, why do you start every one of your feminism LOL channel videos on YouTube by saying, it's been over 2 minutes and I've not been raped?
Right, well, there's an organization called RAIN.org, and they're...
Speak up, like you're on radio.
Yeah. Okay, there's an organization called RAIN.org, and they're the top organization helping victims of rape. And they posted that statistic that a woman gets raped every 2 minutes. And what you'll find with feminism is they like to put these statistics into really dramatic terms, things that that will instill fear into society so that society will then react in the way they want to alleviate this fear. So I started out saying, it's been 2 minutes and I haven't been raped yet, to remind people that there's a lot of rape not happening right now. It's okay to go out of your front door.
Yeah.
It's basically fighting this victim culture and this fear culture.
Yeah.
It's mostly not rape happening everywhere.
Hey, you know, I heard of a new organization that's called GINA, G-I-N-A. Isn't that weird? It's actually, it's part of the UN, and it's about asthma, and it's the Global Initiative for Asthma, and their acronym is GINA, G-I-N-A. Isn't that awesome?
There's a place in Canada called Regina, and I can't...
Oh, Regina. Isn't it Regina?
Like, that's what I call it. I call it Regina. I just, like, except for the one time I just said it, I pretty much just... I couldn't imagine living there. I wouldn't be able to pronounce it. I just, like...
Well, there's a Brian Eno song on Taking Tiger Mountain by Strategy, which is a great record. And the first line of it is, or I think it's the first line of it, is Sweet Regina has gone to China, cross-legged on the floor. It's an interesting record. Do you guys know that record? Do you like Brian Eno?
No.
Haven't heard of it.
I know.
Sorry.
You're like, what's that? Yeah, two of you.
I know what that is. Look like Brian Eno.
You do look like Brian Eno, especially when you're tripping on ecstasy at Porkfest and my wife takes a picture of you. So you're like 25, and what, MK's 25? You guys 25?
Worms. Yeah, sure.
So sure, why not? I have a picture of MK at 15 that I'm going to use tonight for the show, where you look really mean
please
and cranky.
Use it.
What was the hashtag you gave it?
That was my face.
Something. I don't know what that is.
There's like this thing called resting bee face, and that's what I have in that picture.
Okay,
I'm very cranky looking.
So let's get on to some other things, and then we're gonna, you know, someone said that the Freedom Fiends are like Seinfeld, like a show about nothing, which is good because we're really a show about everything. And Diana's video today was called something about Soup Nazi and Mattress Girl. What was it called, Diana?
Hey, Mattress Girl, no soup for you.
Yes, no soup for you. It's a Soup Nazi reference. It's a good one. You should Google that. I'll put it in the show notes, too. It's, Hey, Mattress Girl, no soup for you. So I'm going to go through.
Do you want to explain who Mattress Girl is?
Later. I got some quick stuff to run through here, some quick notes. First of all, I have some, with the ongoing, like, following Michael Dean's health issues. So I'm having to give up everything because of my status asthmaticus, which is the name of the condition I have. It's the worst kind of asthma, and I'm on, like, 7 different drugs for it. Okay, so I'm having to give up not only vaping and cats, now I'm having to give up Chinese food and bacon. Like, what? All the pleasures of my life. Yeah, because it turns out, like nitrates are a trigger.
No.
They are trigger words for my asthma. And they're processed
meat. You get triggered by bacon?
Yeah. I've been like, really paying attention to what does it. And that's something it often triggers, and it does trigger the same with MSG and Chinese food. So I'm going to end up, like, living in a bubble, eating, like, gruel, I think. So,
It's just the MSG and Chinese food. You can still have regular Chinese food. Yeah, you can have regular food. Doesn't have MSG.
Just make it yourself.
Yeah. So, the MSG makes it good, man. So, and the other thing is,
I know,
I've had to add, like, to all the things I have to do daily, you know, and in addition, like, we had to revamp our whole house, kill all the flowers in the backyard. Everything we've had to do, take out our rugs, get a special air pump filter HEPA thing. So another thing I'm having to do, like I've had to add to my daily ablutions along with the, inhaling these steroid drugs into my lungs twice a day and taking these pills and everything. So one other thing I've had to add is doing a neti pot twice a day. You know what that is?
Oh, it's like getting, nice.
No, it's awesome. Not nice. It's like getting waterboarded.
All the time.
It's like getting waterboarded, man.
No, it's supposed to like clean out your nose. Your nostrils.
Well, here's what it is. It's basically like, you know, you dissolve saline in distilled water, heat it, you know, for like 30 seconds till it's warm, and then you basically slowly push it into one nostril till it comes out the other nostril, and it comes out your eye sometimes. It's really weird because, you know, there's that like little pipe that connects to the corner of your eye.
Yeah.
What a strange.
Some people do that every day.
You push it into your nostrils. It's liquid. You pour it into your nostrils.
Not the thing I'm doing, though. The thing I'm doing, it was prescribed. It's a bottle that has like a tip on it and a tube in it. It's kind of like a vas deferens, and it sticks up my nose.
Ugh.
And then you squeeze it. Whoa. No, it like seals on one nostril. It's not like pouring it or dripping it in. It seals with pressure, and you squeeze the bottle, and it pours into your nose and comes out your other nostril, out your mouth, and a little bit out your eyes. That, and it's like water.
Sounds really unpleasant.
No, it is. It's like I'm taking it in stride. I'm like, I'm getting ready for when they put me in Gitmo for free speech and they're waterboarding me. I'll be like, is that all you got, man? I can take that.
I've done my neti pot twice a day.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We should be ready for waterboarding.
I am ready.
You know, a good prepping tool. Yeah.
That's some good stuff, though. Like if you don't look at it as torture. I worked on a film series that was out in, like, farmland, and they had, the crops were covered in pesticides and stuff. And half the crew was getting chronic sinus infections, but I was like rinsing my sinuses out every day, so it didn't affect me.
Hot.
That stuff's awesome.
It is sexy. So
you just got to get used to it. It's just a weird sensation.
Well, was the one you were using?
You can turn it into pleasure.
Was it pushing or was it pouring up your nose? Make a seal on your nostril?
I can't
really
say it was pushing. There's ones that you can buy that you kind of spray up one side.
Yeah.
You tilt your head, right, so it comes out the other nostril.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the neti pots, you have to kind of fit. And the nozzles of the pots are kind of large, but you just tilt your head.
Yeah, this is a little different. This is that idea.
In one nostril and out the other.
Yeah, this is that idea, but this makes a clear, like, seal on one nostril. So it is kind of...
So this is to help your breathing, right?
Yeah, it's to clear all the crap out of your nose and, like, the connection between your nose and your mouth. Diana, when you did it come out your mouth through that little hole in the roof of your mouth?
Well, it can, because your sinuses are connected to your mouth at the back, right?
They're connected
to
your ears,
tilt your head, right?
It's weird, yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're, there's another cool thing,
it's
actually. Ear candling.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you like lie on your side and you light a candle on fire and it sucks all of this stuff out of your eardrum.
Oh, man.
And I used to do that fairly
often,
too.
Must be a West Coast thing. I left San Francisco because of things like that.
And my kid, one time she walked in and I was candling my ear and she wanted to play. And she goes, oh, let's pretend we're camping. And like mom's the log in the fire.
Candling is a verb. I don't know, Derek. I think that sounds like something that you and other young men could do in the dark.
Candling. That's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah, well, it sounds sexy.
I have a new hashtag that I think people should use for Porkfest for certain things that may happen, just to make people wonder what's going to happen there. I think people should use hashtag Porkfist.
I think that's what I should rename my hotel room.
Yeah, I think it is. Well, you know, Ian Freeman's child bride, is he still with her or has he moved on? Are they still together? Renee? Is that her name?
No. I mean, I don't know. I'm whatever. I don't want to get into it.
Okay. But
what about her?
Well, what about her? Yeah. So, I don't have anything against her, but I heard this thing that it was the Shire Dudes podcast, which I like, and I've helped them with their audio, and it's really good audio. So it was the Shire Dude and Rob Mathias and
Rebel Love Show.
And Renee.
That's what they do.
Yeah. And Renee, and then like that hot chick, the one black girl in New Hampshire. What's her name?
Anne, Rebel Mistress. She just joined my show, Flaming Freedom.
Yeah, yeah, she's hot. So they were playing my podcast with my wife, my first podcast from 2006, Submission and Coffee. They called it Coffee and Submission, but it was like, it was a recording of my wife and I and this other woman having sex. And like, the two guys were like, yeah. And Anne was like, yeah. And Renee was like, oh my God, this is horrible. This is worse than being in Gitmo. And she was saying that like, I can't believe these women sound like this when they have sex. And Renee's like, I can. I mean, Anne's like, sounds good to me. And Renee's like, well, why don't you have control when you have sex and like not sound like that? They sound like animals. And Renee's like,
sometimes
you give up control. That's good. Yeah. It was weird.
Yeah,
like, Renee was
worse than
Anne,
being
sorry.
In Gitmo.
Yeah, that's what Renee said, man. She said it
What is it with this tendency to compare things to, like, you know, being a victim of war or like a POW?
I think the neti potting is closer. I think the neti pot is closer. Yeah. Well, I guess it needed a trigger warning. Have you heard it, MK?
I have not heard it.
I don't think you're old enough. I don't think 25 is old enough to hear it.
Check that out. I'm not old enough.
I'll send it to you and you can listen to it during the break and then we can talk about it. Ah, here's the music to save us.
I've seen and heard some weird stuff, so.
Not for me.
Meow.
Derek J, have you heard it?
Well.
Derek J.
No.
Okay, I'll just play it to you guys.
The hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Yeah. That was a little stumble down.
Lung butter.
Memory lane. Lung butter. Lung butter can be used to lubricate your engine block. Yep. So, what did we hear in the most radio-friendly terms anybody can use? Derek, your hand's up. Go ahead.
We heard the sounds of love being shared between two men and one woman. One man, two women.
Sounds of love between a married man and a married woman and their neighbor from down the street. Yeah. Lady. Yeah.
Yep.
Called the pet. Yep. So, was that, does anyone need a trigger warning? Is anyone harmed? Is anyone a victim after hearing that?
Those trigger warnings are ridiculous.
Speak up, Diana.
They have trigger warnings on course material for university now, right?
Universities are insane.
Just the phrase trigger warning triggers me now.
Oh, didn't you talk about that before, MK? The trigger warnings?
We did,
trigger warning?
Yeah. The trigger trigger worms and
trigger
stuff.
Worms.
And,
yep.
Yeah. Trigger warning, interesting content.
Yes, yeah.
So they should just all say.
You know,
this might actually be exciting to listen to or read. You know,
I have a couple comments on today's show that I listened to it after our show with MK and me and Davi and Ben Stone. So, okay, one little quick thing. You were talking about like things set in stone, like plaques on the wall on buildings. There is a plaque on a building in San Francisco in South of Market area, maybe like Harrison or Townsend and like Second or Battery, that right under a bridge that says it's on the side of a building and it's from like 1906 and it says like, or, you know, I mean, 1910 is after the earthquake when they rebuilt a long time ago. And it says something like, you know, this is the site of the original meeting place of the San Francisco Typesetters Union, blah, 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 blah. There are two typos. There are two typos in this brass plaque celebrating the Typesetters Union. So pretty good for them. Pretty good for union work. And the other thing was MK was talking about remnants versus movements. Do you want to recap that real quick, what that was about?
Yeah, it was this article on the FEE website, fee.org, and that's the Foundation for Economic Education. And it was an article called Libertarianism Movement versus the Remnant. And it kind of differentiated the movement as being the people who want to see their philosophy go mainstream. And I think this is broadly applicable to a lot of different ideas, who are not just libertarianism, but they're the people who are like, we need to make liberty popular and cool, and we need to reach out to people and, you know, through whatever methods, you know, and just kind of make it broadly appealing so we can win elections and kind of things like that. And then there are people who kind of stick more to the core principles. They don't care that much about popularity. And that's the kind of remnant. And you see this with in religions, too. You also see it in people, other philosophies.
People that hold the canon.
It's just a difference.
Are the remnant. The people that, like, never change and hold the canon. Here's what I was thinking after listening to that. I think it's kind of switched at this point to where, like, the Libertarian Party type, the people who think, like, we need to be normal and staid and not scare the normal people, I think that's the remnant. And I think the movement is the freaky people who are like us, like, yeah, man, heroin should be sold in vending machines, you know? I think it's switched because there's so many more of us now. I mean, it's getting to the point where, like, you know, sometimes I've done like a speaking engagement at a Libertarian Party meeting, you know, where they're showing Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom or something. And then like Nima Vedati and I Skype in by video and answer questions. And like all the speakers at the good Libertarian Party events now are anarcho-capitalists. They're not even, you know, party people. They're party people, but they're not party people.
I guess it depends on the event. Like Freedom Fest has a lot of more kind of right wing, right leaning.
Pork Fest is the only one worth
prominent,
going to.
Or even the LP people. Well, yeah, Pork Fest is like, you know, the fun Libertarian Party. So I love
what?
Pork Fest. That's my favorite.
There's no Libertarian
Party
there. It's all anarchists, isn't it?
Anarchists. Yeah, that's what I meant. Party is it not LP the party? I meant like party. Woo, get
like,
down.
Like a party girl. The, like Derek
yeah,
J.
like.
Hey, Diana, are you going to Pork Fest? Do you have your tickets yet?
I don't even know what Pork Fest is.
Ah! Okay. Schooler, Derek J.
Oh, boy.
So, okay. Pork Fest to me is a little piece of heaven on earth.
It's
like
2,000 naked, armed hippies smoking weeds in the hills of New Hampshire once a year. I went last year.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
A journalist asked me about it.
Porcupine. But there is bacon there.
Yeah, but you the porcupine is sort of like the spirit animal of the libertarians. They want to be left alone.
Yeah,
but they also are armed.
Yeah, man.
But it is like heaven on earth. It is like a little piece of libertopia. People vend things and sell stuff to each other there.
Child labor.
Have parties. Yep. Davi famously employs child labor.
You employ child labor. I saw you getting your nails done by some like 11-year-old girl, man. Paid for it in silver and didn't pay any taxes. That was absolute agorism, man. Worms will be back after this trip to the free market. I'm dancing. I'm dancing music in my panties.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
There's a giant moth on my wall. I'm going to go kill it. Jim Jesus did say, Jim Jesus wrote in and said that, I'm going to catch it and release it in the wild. Jim Jesus wrote in and said that candling is retarded and potentially dangerous. It does not suck out the wax. Whoa. The wax comes from the candle, not your ear. I thought that fad was dead. But Diana, you have a comment about you're willing to try anything twice, even if it kills you, right?
Well, candling, I'm not going to vouch for the efficacy of candling or, you know, whether it does anything good or not. It was just something that seemed like it was cool to try. And I do that. I've done acupuncture. I've done the neti pot. I've done candling. So I'm just like one of those people who's just like, what is it? Just stick in my ear and let on fire. Oh, cool. I'll try it. Doesn't mean it worked.
So maybe children shouldn't try candling, but maybe if you're a well-coordinated adult, give it a try.
Yeah, I'm not advocating for it, but
I don't know enough about it, so.
Yeah, well, we've got the warning out there. Don't stick things in your ears and light them on fire, thinking it's going to do anything great for you.
There you go.
So, right before the last break, there we were talking about libertarian parties, and I, you know, wanted to ask this question. Libertarian, I kind of get like they're not complete anarchy; it's just like minimal government, but. Anarchy parties, you know, I've heard this before. How does an anarchist actually create a political party and participate in the very thing that it's trying to destroy? You guys, do you know of anarchy parties? Have you ever voted for one?
I don't know of anarchy parties, but there's a spectrum of anarchy within libertarianism. Some are going to be more minarchist and believe that, you know, it's productive to work inside the system. And some are going to be full anarchists who maybe think that sometimes they have a chance too, but maybe still don't believe in the system. So I know they've had some luck in New Hampshire with the Free State Project at infiltrating the local governments and, you know, pushing towards more freedom-friendly legislation. And I don't participate in politics on any level. That's, I guess, the form of anarchist I am. I'm not actively against it. It's kind of like, you know, if that's fulfilling for someone, that's great. But it's not something that, you know, I participate in, and I think it comes down to personal preference, really. I mean, I don't really see it as an effective route, but it has been in certain areas, like in New Hampshire, where there's effective. A lower population, then it is effective. So where I'm from, I don't think it would be as effective, but it has been in New Hampshire. Derek, do you want to tell us more about some of the awesome stuff they've done up there?
Yeah, I'm a straight-up anarchist from Philly, and that it doesn't mean I throw bombs and break windows. It means that I believe in self-ownership, self-government, and I moved to New Hampshire to join others who think like I do, and there are about 2,000 people or so who are active here in New Hampshire at working towards increasing liberty and whatever that means to them. And when I moved up here, I was like, no politics, no thank you. I'm more in Diana's camp where, like, media is the way to influence people. You know, it's way more fun to produce media. It can spread more virally. And politics is boring. I mean, it's stuffy. You have to go into these buildings. You're often disarmed, which I don't like. So anyway, the fact is, I had to follow where the evidence leads. And the evidence in this case says that politics actually can work in New Hampshire. I didn't want to believe it, but that's the case. Just recently, there was a bill that legalized, I think it's called Narcan. It's something like a pen that can be used basically to revive a heroin victim, someone who's a victim of an overdose. And, you know, that's great. It's reversing the drug war one step at a time. It's not my strategy. I don't go to the state house to fight for this stuff. But if that's what some people want to do, then I'm for all strategies, you know? Let's attack from all corners.
Well, I think it's great to get outside of the box, too, like getting creative. One of the things that really does have a big effect on the public, because the public is generally apathetic to politics. Like, that's one of the big deals, is getting people to go out and vote at all. So there's other ways to affect change in society. And one of those is film and music, because you can think about films from the past that have really deeply affected culture, that basically people do one-liners from it. They quote it all the time. And it's almost like an in-group. If you haven't seen this film, then you don't know what people are talking about half the time. And music that has created entire cultural shifts. So I think there's other ways than just politics that you can try to bring about a change in the community. And it's a way that people actually enjoy, whereas they're sick of politics, but they love going to the movies and they love music.
I have a relevant quote here from Oscar Wilde. He says, and I think we could apply this to YouTube videos and movies as well. He says, "I regard the theater as the greatest of all art forms, the most immediate way in which a human being can share with another the sense of what it is to be a human being."
Yeah, nice. Well,
I think that's what you're doing with your YouTube videos, when it's one person talking to another. You know, this is theater in a way, and it is a way to use art to shape people's ideas.
The interesting thing with YouTube, like when you first start, talking to a camera is the hardest thing to get used to and look natural. I still get people saying, "Why aren't you looking at the camera?" Like, and yeah, I look at the monitor because it's the closest thing to an actual human that I have there while I'm talking. It's so unnatural just to talk to a
camera. Tape a picture to your camera. Tape a picture of your mother or someone that you would talk to, like really naturally. That's been a trick that worked for me. Now I look at the camera and it looks so much. I mean, I'm not criticizing your videos. I think they're all great, but if you want to look at the camera more, taping an image there really helps.
Yeah, well,
that seems like a really good idea. Yeah.
Once you get a certain amount of engagement from the community, too, like I was really lucky. I was writing articles before I started my channel, so I had an audience from my articles that was there with me from the beginning. A lot of people who do YouTube videos, they've been putting these up for years, and they only get like 58 views per video and things like that, right?
But why do you think that is? Are they just bad at it? Do they have bad titles, bad thumbnails, bad topics?
People need to know you exist. So, you know, getting your videos to show up in side links takes a lot of, you know, marketing skill on your behalf. For me, I was my articles were being published on a fairly big site. So those people were getting links to the videos that I put up from that site. Also,
what site?
Women. I don't even want to give them any press right now because we had a falling out. But you know, there's various reasons. Women get more hits than men do on their videos. Actually, I was helping out this group of young kids in Victoria, BC. They were starting up a show that they were trying to produce for YouTube. It was called Four Villains, actually. And it had its clever moments, but they did these kind of cheesy bios of themselves. And the three guys did theirs. And then this one chick with, she had rather large bosoms and red hair, she got like thousands of views for no reason at all on her video. And they
no
only got,
reason
like,
at
well,
all?
There's no, a reason.
No reason. Well, yeah, the reason that I stated, right?
Likely.
I can't really say those are the qualities that would draw, you know, clicks on my videos. I don't really have those attributes, but
you don't flash the audience.
No, I frame my videos properly. But women do get more hits on YouTube. But anyway, starting up a channel and getting a message out there, you know, you can.
Do you resent
into
that?
It,
but like that you're a woman who makes popular YouTube videos, but you don't use, I don't know, less desirable techniques to enhance your video views?
Well, I mean, I did work in film for a bit, so I had some conscientiousness about the quality of the videos. But I got to tell you, one of the things that I found with YouTube, and I kind of studied it to start with, is that people really like watching a video that's of poorer quality, and they're thinking, I could have done that. And that's kind of my attitude with my video, is I want to encourage people to do that. So I actually try not to make my videos too clean or too professional looking. I mean, not to say that I could right now with the equipment I have, but part of what I'm doing with my channel is encouraging other people with unique views who feel like nobody hears what they have to say to turn on their camera and to start doing that.
Yeah. And that's empowering. Yeah. That's really empowering women and anyone. What else? I mean, you talk about this sort of stuff a lot, and I'm just curious generally, what do you think empowers women? If this feminism stuff is not what empowers women, what does?
Well, I mean, you could get into, you know, deeper psychology of it. I actually don't think that in the current day women are oppressed in any way, shape, or form. And in the past, I actually...
So maybe I'm asking the wrong question.
As a trade-off, right? But right now, I don't actually see myself as a woman making videos. I don't actually think of my gender as a part of my identity whatsoever. So I'm more of an intellectual. So I'm just like a brain that's on a body, and my body happens to look a certain way. And I'm not displeased.
I know exactly what you mean.
Is that unique to you, or is that a thing? Is that a thing, MK? It's like agenderist? That. Like you don't look at gender?
I mean, that would be kind of how I describe my views on gender, is I don't want to be defined by my gender. I would rather people watch my videos because they enjoy the content and what I have to say. But at the same time, like, I don't resent people using their gender to get more views. I mean, I think people should use whatever they can to get ahead and be successful. So,
I was thinking about that today. I was like, going for a jog, MK. Yeah, no, let me plow over you here, because this is important. I was going for a jog, trying to make my body look all good. I was like, Porkfest is coming up,
and
it's beach time, Speedo Day for the gay anarchists out there. We're going to be going to the Hampton Beach soon, so I want to look good. And I was thinking to myself, you know, why did I put this off for so long? Why be so lazy? And because I'm like, I have these two minds. One is fighting to say... you know, get in shape and go look good. And the other's like, oh, focus on other things. Go make videos, go read a book, you know, do things that aren't so strenuous. But the reality is attractive bodies attract eyeballs, right? So if you want to spread ideas, doesn't it behoove you to use physical attraction to your advantage?
Yeah, I would think in some ways. I mean, it's not something I really focus on. I mean, like, I guess I could play those aspects up more if I wanted to, but I don't feel the need to.
Yeah, why not?
I guess. But other people,
as long as you don't use your body to sell your video and then complain about the attention you get because of your the way you look, right?
Right.
It's not that they do it, it's that they complain later they're being objectified.
Yeah, they can't complain about it after they use it.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Like an audio version of Frolicking Through the Flowers, the Freedom Fiends reconvenes.
Meow.
Meow.
Hey, so... we were talking about getting our beach bodies in order for summer. I hope you're doing the same. And the reason is because I think, you know, physicality can sell. Like they say, sex sells, right? So if you want to sell ideas, why wouldn't you glam it up for the cam and try and attract as many eyeballs as possible? And I include myself in this. So, like, ladies, what do you think?
Well, it's such a hot topic about women being annoyed and, in fact, harassed and verging on sexual assault just by somebody looking at them and making a comment. So I think that kind of tempers, you know, the narrative about whether or not you should be using your sexuality, which I think is ridiculous. You know, when I go out, if somebody whistles at me, I'm thinking, glad you're enjoying me, right?
Yeah.
I don't understand why people take it as some sort of an assault on them unless they look at themselves, their physical presentation is some sort of commodity that's just been stolen from them when somebody looks without their permission.
Yeah. And I don't have any problem with people using their sexuality to get views and stuff. I think that's fine. It's just not my personal style, because I don't think society has reached a level to where they can look at a woman doing that and still have that, have a kind of respect for her. There's still, like, you know,
oh,
and I know
on.
You should never read
society.
The comments and stuff. But,
society.
It is still, I'm talking about, you know, generally speaking, if a woman's doing that, she gets a lot of derogatory comments and shit like that, and stuff like that, sorry. And it's not something that it's not the quality of comments that I would like on my material, I guess. But I don't have a problem with people doing
know.
It. I'm actually pro people doing that. Like, whatever is your thing, you know, whatever works for you and whatever makes you feel good and can help you be successful, then I'm all for it. It's just not, it's a personal preference thing for me, so.
Well, I feel like it's something I'm lacking personally, and that the Liberty community and at large is really lacking. It's like, where are our beauties? Where are our Kardashians to hold up and be like, oh, ooh, they're pretty, you know, and they don't have to be, I mean, they could still be brilliant, they could be articulate and share these ideas, but, like, why wouldn't we want to put up poster children, you know, for liberty? Like, why is that
not happening already?
Or am I missing it? Are there?
Well, Libertarian girl is really pretty, and she's also really talented. Let's see. Well, even Bella Knox, she was getting a lot of attention for a while. She was getting articles that were very libertarian themed published in, I think it was Time even. And she's also
two libertarian
a porn
women.
Star.
And people criticize the libertarian movement for being too masculine, too many men. What men are putting themselves up as these superstar porn star models?
We got Michael Dean.
Austin Peterson.
He's pretty hot.
I was about to say Austin Peterson is, you know, he's not a bad looking guy. He puts himself out there. Yeah.
All right.
Why aren't you doing this more, Derek? I want, you know, we need to see
more. That's what I'm saying.
You know, videos of you maybe getting down at Porkfest or something or whatever.
That's what I'm saying, MK. Yeah, this is part of an evolution for me. This is a conversion now. I'm going to work towards being the beautiful bimbo. It's just gonna attract eyeballs and never speak. I think that'll be the new Derek J. I don't know. It's just something
you can bring a lot of attention, a lot of fan base in without being attractive to you, though. Like, look at Monty Python, right? They're just outrageous, you know, geeky looking guys that British people, for some reason, guys like to dress up in drag, and in a time where that wasn't just sort of seen as a thing to do, you know. But they've basically changed culture so intensely. In fact, I was dating a guy who'd never seen Monty Python's Holy Grail. And,
wow.
So he had to see it. I know, right?
Yeah,
so,
you strap him down immediately. Like.
So I'm like, you have to watch this movie. You're not going to know what I'm talking about half the time. And so he watched it, and he didn't laugh. And, like, not only did he not laugh, he's like, I don't get it. And I just
Oh, you had
I
to
cried.
Dump him.
Yeah, I cried because I knew it was
just
over.
Just get rid of him.
And but Monty Python totally changed society, and
deal
not
breaker.
A single one of them is attractive. Typically attractive.
It's true.
Hey, all you people out there in Central Time, it just became my birthday. Happy birthday to me, Worms.
Happy birthday!
When we come back, there was a woman who was murdered in my hometown.
Yeah.
And she was waiting for a gun permit. I want to talk
that
about
happens.
It.
That happens.
Because this
gun
happens
control,
all the time.
Gun control gets women raped. Hey, you know, I flunked out of college skipping classes to go sit in the library to watch Monty Python's Holy Grail on VHS every day for like a year. Well, I would do that.
I didn't even know Michael was a student.
And I would also listen to the Aqualung.
This show survives.
For some reason in this country, and in most of the Western world, it's okay to just judge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created Fiend Phone. I'm using Fiend Phone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's FiendPhone.com, FiendPhone.com. Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, phone.com.
FiendPhone, I never knew remote audio could be this good.
Talking.
That's right.
Meow.
Meow.
MP
rings the
smut. That's right. This is Freedom Fiends broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows for use by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. And we are back for hour two of the Freedom Fiends. Have Diana.
MP brings the smut.
Yeah. So it's kind of a filth quota here on the Freedom Fiends. And MK used up like a week's worth of filth quota in just 1 second. On this show, so we don't know what she said, but it, apparently our corporate masters are sending us cables, like government cables, and telling us, you know, the Department of Defense or whoever it is that funds the Fiends, the Koch brothers. I don't remember.
Children are crying, women are screaming. It's terrible. I deeply apologize.
I'm getting high speed data transmissions of sped up microwaves and Morse code. So I was going to tell this story. I'll tell the story anyway. We wanted to talk about the red pill analogy, but we decided the red pill analogy from The Matrix is so overused, it has so no meaning. Kind of like what Davi was talking about how like every building in California has this building causes cancer to the point where everyone ignores it. I actually bought cookware at the 99-cent store in Los Angeles on Sunset in Silver Lake. I got it home. I was like, oh, this is great, man. I'm poor. I'm living in a studio apartment. This cookware is 99 cents for a dish. I'll buy five of them. Took it home. I'm like, I can have my four friends over and cook burritos, cheap burritos for them. I look on the bottom of the dish and it says, the glaze used on this dish contains lead and should not be used for serving food. I'm like, thanks. Thanks, nice. Thanks, Obama.
It's a decorative plate.
It is a decorative plate. Yeah. Thanks, Obama. Yeah. So
but we're, good for smashing, though.
But we're going to talk about
this
the
plate,
Matrix.
Not to be used as a plate.
I know. So we're going to talk about the Matrix, but I don't know if we're going to talk about the red pill thing. But somebody asked me to tell one of my greatest hits here. I told this about 4 years ago. But so one of the Wachowski brothers, or what are their names? Anyone know their names?
Wachowski.
Yeah. Now one of them is like a tranny now, right? Or is a woman
trans?
I don't know what you kids are doing.
Come on, you're from San Francisco.
Yeah, you should
be a
know
little
better.
More PC than that.
I'm so not PC. I mean, I used to hang out in gay bars where like men raped each other over the pool table while listening to hard rock, and that was like a typical Tuesday night at 4 p.m.
Yeah,
so, you know.
Yeah, but you got to be nice to the trans. They'll mess you up, so you want to get their words right.
They'll glitter
and
bomb
their pronouns.
They'll glitter bomb me if they can find me. I have an AK-47 right next to me, and I don't leave my house. So what are they going to do to me? I'm not going to shoot them. I just don't know what they're called. But here's the thing. So
they're going to give you gender dysphoria.
One of those guys is trans now, and I guess living as a woman. Okay,
she's a woman.
Okay. So she was influenced to that decision by the woman. Can I say biological woman, or is that un-PC? The biological woman
yeah.
that she is married to, who people know her as Mistress Ilsa. I know her as Karen. That's her real name. Karen, let's just say W. I don't know if she's out about her real last name, but I used to masturbate with that woman. Back in the day, she was a good friend of mine in San Francisco.
As a woman, she was not a man.
She was a woman. No, she's always been a woman. And she, yeah. you know, but she married this director and influenced him to become a woman, I guess. Or it happened right after that. So, yeah, I know
did
that.
She, did she try the same thing on you? Or
no.
What do you mean influenced? Because I mean, pressured him to become a woman, or encouraged him to come out of his... Yeah, okay.
Said, you're a beautiful butterfly, okay. Come out of your chrysalis or something. I don't know.
Okay, cool.
But she used to run the most, like, financially successful, like, dungeon, like, professional sex or BDSM dungeon in L.A., like, commercial dungeon with, like, you know... Like, all the women had health insurance, and they were playing, they, you know, paid taxes, and it was above the table and stuff. Like, not sex, but, like, BDSM.
Not the taxes part, but,
you know,
yeah.
Like, you go in and get whipped or whip whatever your
kink is. Aren't there streets in San Francisco where you can just walk around, and it's pretty much like exhibitionism,
Well, that's San Francisco. This was L.A.
Out in public.
That was San Francisco. Oh, okay. This is L.A. I knew her in San Francisco, too. So, like, in San Francisco, like, I watched her whole... rise. Like, when I met her, she was first, you know, she was living in like a hotel room in a cheap hotel, and then she got an apartment. Just like, she was so determined business wise that, you know, I don't doubt that she loves the guy, but I also like am totally not surprised that she married, like, you know, one of the richest, most influential, like, directors in Hollywood, you know, because that's kind of like her whole trajectory. But I bet she loves him dearly and really cares, you know. That's how she is.
You know? Yeah, I mean, and she's sounds like she's a great woman, so why shouldn't she have the best?
But she used to love my band Bomb. We hung out a lot together. You know, she used to come over to my house. I used to go over to her house. She used to come see my band. We hung out in San Francisco, L.A., Berlin when my band was there. You know, I just saw her everywhere. I know her really well and am happy and proud of her and not surprised. So that's my Matrix story.
Nice.
The Matrix is like it's such a popular film, not just for the like red pill analogy and stuff like that. It's just what I find with films like that, they usually the first one's the best. And then when you have such an incredible like world rewriting that goes on in there, then the authors keep trying to take it one step further and one step further. And by the time they got to the end of The Matrix, there was nowhere left to go. Like, it is just a fictional story. So the disappointment at the end of it is just like, it's disappointing, but in a way is like, it is fake. So how do you wrap that up? And there's so many stories like that. I don't know, The Hunger Games.
You mean in movie 3?
Sillier and sillier. There's a couple of films that the second one was better. I think The Terminator, the second Terminator film was actually better than the first for me. But, anyways, The Matrix, the first one, it was a pretty incredible adventure and storytelling. And
I was so impressed with the first one, I didn't see the sequels.
Well, once it starts to fly, it just gets silly.
It's really disappointing. Why is flying silly? If he realizes, I mean, I think we can do spoiler alert, like, for a movie that's, what, now 16 years old? But yeah, when Neo realizes that he is the one, then he can fly, because can't he basically hack into the Matrix with his mind and rewrite the code of the universe so that like gravity doesn't affect him anymore, and he of course he can fly.
Well, it works with the storyline, but I don't know. Just one of the things with lead characters in good storytelling is they have to be up against really tough odds. So the harder to defeat the villain is, the better the story becomes.
Right.
And so
you want a David and Goliath.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But when I went to see The Matrix, I went to see it quite late. It was in like third run in theaters, and I went with this friend of mine. And during that scene where they go in with all the guns into the lobby and stuff, and there's this big shootout and stuff, like, she's like, it's like Rambo meets Cirque du Soleil. The funniest description. But then afterwards, I think for about 2 weeks, we walked around in black trench coats and sunglasses.
Oh, yeah. That movie had that effect on everybody.
Oh, yeah.
I saw a big wave of long trench coats appear after The Matrix. That was very in fashion. But what was it about that movie that took you? It was the story itself? You said the storytelling was really unique. What about the storytelling is unique in The Matrix?
Well, just the setup in that they layer it onto the existing world in a fairly good mapped way. So you have your alternate world, but it matched up with the world that most people can identify with in their waking life. So you're not just going into a fantasy world. It's a fantasy world that for all means and purposes, you could imagine like it's possible. This could
Is kind of weird, because in their world, their fantasy world is our reality. That is kind of trippy.
Mm-hmm. And they
the
did
fun little
such
moments
good
too, like the cat and repeating, like walking across the room, and they go, "Oh, it's deja vu." And they go, "No, deja vu is." Well, how many people have actually wondered? Like everybody's wondered, what is this deja vu feeling? Because everybody's experienced it, and there's no real solid explanation for what it is. Maybe there is now, but it's not generally known. So they cover stuff like that too. That's a common experience that has no answer.
Right, right. And they kind of built it on a very common literary theme, which is, you know, this person is, you know, this kind of savior of mankind or savior of, you know, he's the one who's going to bring them out of this really horrible situation and into a better situation. And so very basic kind of literary premises, but built on top of this idea of, oh, well, you know, things aren't really what they seem. There's more to this kind of experience out there. So it kind of taps into, I think, that maybe subconscious feeling a lot of people have, that, oh, what if, you know, the world I'm living in isn't really reality? What if there's something kind of beyond it that I'm missing out on, you know, maybe that you experience when you're dreaming or something like that? Have you guys ever had that experience? Like, you ever just been walking around and it's just like, what if, you know, there's something else, you know, some other alternative reality, like, I don't know, parallel dimension or something.
Oh, all the time. Isn't that the most commonly accepted view of how the universe actually is right now? We've got the multiple universe theory thing going around.
Yeah,
multiverse
theory,
It used to be the big idea that the universe was just infinitely expanding and contracting forever and ever, but then now they're saying, no, it's just expanding, and it expands in all directions, and there are all these other multiple universes. Like, every decision that you could possibly make, every single moment of every day gets split into another universe where that possibility actually happens. And then you can create wormholes from one universe to another and then jump through.
Worm souls.
Worm.
Yeah.
Right, right. So they really masterfully wove all that together.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing what's going on in science, like this study of changes of behavior in molecules when you're watching them versus when you're not watching them.
What?
Yeah, the observer effect.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it's called observational theory or something like that. So
I did have done studies where we were both dumps. That's why we never went all the way.
No, that's
wait,
the observer
wait.
I didn't sub to Mr. Salsa. We were both dumps. That's why we never went all the way.
Yeah, I just want to make it clear that I wasn't, like, you know, kissing her toes or anything. We were both dumps, so it was like kind of slappy and weird, like you know, just it was kind of like two positively charged ions in the same bed having fun.
Yeah
You been there, Derek?
I'm glad you cleared that up.
I have, with other subs, and it's just like, where do you go from here? You've got nothing to do.
I picture you topping from the bottom though, Derek. I think you'd be a pushy bottom in a good way. Is that right?
Only one way to find out.
Nope, I'd have to drink beer, and I don't drink. I only take about three beers though, Derek.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Ow. Ew.
Worms.
Catty worms. You ever see a cat playing with worms?
Sangeeta was asking for it the way she's dressed.
All right.
Sangeeta.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
What?
Feminism. What
Derek
is it?
Was asking what for it the way she's dressed. Derek was asking for it the way she's dressed.
What?
Michael.
What?
I was asking for it. Because tonight I was so excited that you were going to be on. I wanted to bottom with you. To radio bottom.
Yeah, because you're usually such a top on the radio. Although, you have to kind of keep it in check with Ian. Although, you could top Mark. I've seen you top Mark. So what do you think? What do you think? Before we get into the ladies and what do we think about the ladies and the feminisms? What do you guys think about these Twitter channels? These fake Twitter channels? Ian Freeman Googling and Mark Edge Googling. Have you seen these?
I have hilarious. Seen them. They're awesome. They're hilarious.
Is there one for you? Isn't there a Freedom Fiends one?
No, there's one called Michael Musings or something. That's I think it's Mike. It's got Mike in the name. I know that the person doesn't know me very well because they know I hate being called Mike, but... Yeah,
or they know you very well because you hate being called Mike.
Maybe it's me. Maybe these like
are these people in our heads?
Maybe these asthma drugs I'm on like have side effects that I'm not aware of. And I'm like sleepwalking and sleep tweeting and living a double life. That'd be funny.
Whoever this person is very good because they are on it all the time. Like every three really hours, are. There's a new post from these guys.
Ian's the most, at the very least, the most. The most active one, then secondly is probably Mark, and then thirdly is the Mike. There's a couple others that don't do much, like every couple days, like the Michael Dean one,
like Phony Styles, Tony Styles ripoff,
and the Chris Canada Well, which is like a polite Canadian Chris Canwell.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah,
that one's funny.
All right, so Derek, you're a feminist, right?
No, I'm not. Okay. And it gets me in trouble with some of my feminist friends.
I'm just going to wind you guys up and let you go. Have fun.
All right. Thanks, Michael Worms. I am not a feminist. When I hear that word, like, yeah, I'm for equality. As Michael started out the show, like, equality rocks, but feminism does not. I don't know. Do you feel like women are oppressed, Diana?
Oh, no, I think it's ridiculous. I did a video that uploaded tonight, actually, about... it's a
Speak up.
One. I did a video on victimhood. It's the second one, actually. Last week I talked about the same thing. But feminists are a part of, they kind of attach themselves with social justice warriors, and they're making massive demands upon the public through the government to compensate them for wrongs that have never actually been done to them. The most vocal feminists actually, you know, have fairly good lives, and
like
they
what
take on the
wrongs?
Victim.
Like, what are you talking about?
Wrongs, well, anything that can be, you know, cast into the light of some sort of a victimizing of them, even just through the way somebody looks at them, they, you know, go on about their, you know, inability to, you know, work in the same way that men do, but they don't want to. When you look at the reality, women make different choices in the workplace than men do, and that's mostly the cause of the wage gap that they talk about all the time. But anyways, just to put it in perspective, tonight's video was about this chick that is known as Mattress Girl, right? So she got the name Mattress Girl because she claimed that she was raped, and she didn't report it to the police. She reported it to the university, the campus alternate, you know, trial system that they've put up, which is just outrageous. And
sounds very serious.
Yeah, like they have these, it's almost like a mock trial, but a guy can be thrown out of university not based on a conviction in a court of law, based on a conviction in this little monkey court that they have in the universities. And that court is told that they must find a guy to be guilty if there's even a slight chance, right? There's no presumption of innocence. There's a presumption of guilt.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense for a college, though, right? Because they're a private institution, they depend on a lot of money and donors. They need to have a higher standard of scrutiny for their students than the government would, for example, right?
Well, whether it's right or wrong, he passed their test, right? He was found to be not guilty. And
they're supposed to err on the side of guilt. Yes. Exactly. So, okay.
And he was found to be not guilty. And despite that, she actually did an art project for one of her courses she was taking at university. And
she's an art major at Columbia?
And yeah, she was getting credit for this.
Not why you go to Columbia, folks.
She carried a mattress around with her for her entire, like, 3 years or 3 or 4 years of her degree. Or I think it was about 3 years from the time the event happened. But she became known as Mattress Girl. And she carried this mattress with her everywhere as part of an art project. And she's, you know, this was done under the name of feminism. And now that she's graduated, she decided to go do a porno reenacting her rape because I guess she wasn't victim enough. And this is like pushing the tolerance for what feminism stands for and what it's asking of the public. We're supposed to forever
check your Homo sapien privilege.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, this is Squiskar Squigelts from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Pipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
This song is called My God is a Woman. You're a jerk.
Goddesses.
It was a little hornier than that. It was back when I first got clean, up dope 21 years ago, and they told me to pick my higher power, and I was a sex fiend, so I just said, well, my God is a 700-foot tall woman that makes sure I want to get fed and laid. So, and petted, and petted, let's say, and petted, be radio friendly. But, you know, the thing is, it's like 1:30 in the morning in most, you know, much of America. So, like, if your children are listening to this show right now, you're probably a bad parent. That's what I got to say. Nah. If your children are up listening to this show, you have bigger problems than this show. Let's say that.
Or the kids are crafty.
I used to have a little transistor radio under my covers after my parents would go to sleep. I'd listen to the radio.
I was sneaky, yeah.
The little fiends are out there. The little fiends are snuggled in their beds pretending to be asleep.
Diana's, I was going to build a fort tonight so I could like broadcast from inside my fort.
That's fun.
Oh, yeah.
It's good audio, but it's too hot. It's fun, though. I like doing that. Like, my wife and I used to do that with our kink podcast back in the day. You know, when we didn't have the neighbor girl down the street come over, just when it was just the two of us, sometimes we'd do it under the covers, which was kind of cool. So I,
outside?
No, inside. Make a fort in the living room. So, you know, kids do with the, yeah, so.
I'm picturing a treehouse.
A treehouse.
You have to have a flashlight, too.
Get out of a treehouse. No girls. It is essential. Yeah. Yep. So, I'm a cis white male, I guess. I didn't even know these terms until like last year. You know, I didn't know that there was a problem with my privilege that, you know, that I'm a,
yeah, you have to change all your pronouns.
That's the thing is I don't
relearn English.
I don't have to. Here's the thing. I'm in Wyoming. I'm sitting here with an AK-47. It's loaded. Come tell me what to do. Come by and make me do it. Really? I mean, I say, who's going to make me do it? I guess the government could make me do it. Take my house if I don't, like, if they'll, you know, by the time I'm 90 and dying of asthma, you know, the government will probably say, like, well, we're going to take your house if you don't use this proper language. And by then I'll probably be like, go ahead, man. See what happens. So, yeah, I'm a fun
You better student. Have cameras hooked up.
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
That's going to happen to this house where I'm broadcasting right now. Oh, yeah. That's happening in a year.
Well, I don't know if Diana knows what she's getting herself into. Like, okay, first of all, this show, our youngest co-host is 16 and our oldest co-host is 64. We run the gamut here. Second of all, literally the house Derek lives in, like they've tried, the FBI has arrested someone and tried to get them to wear a wire into that house because they're so convinced something's going on there, right?
Yeah.
They're taking over the universe.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
no, they have.
The guy didn't squeal. He actually told the FBI to pound sand. And anyway, yeah. So,
and he's not in prison. You know, fortunately, and he's one of your co-hosts on Free Talk Live.
Right, but the co-hosts here, Ian, they gave the house to the church, and yeah. So it's church owned now, and churches don't pay taxes, so the house doesn't pay taxes. So
yeah, we'll see.
Eminently, the government is going to collect the house, and I just want to be prepared for that, not with guns, but with video cameras, because yeah. I take a different strategy. I would want to just record it and show people this is what happens, because there's no video of that. People always talk like it's theoretical, like, oh, they'll take your house. Well, let's see it happen. Okay, I need to have some YouTube live stream
inside.
Example.
There's no video from the inside. There's no video from the inside. No,
there's
happening.
There's going to be tons. It's going to be packed with activists. Are you crazy? Yeah. It's going to have like 50 people in there at least.
Yeah. It'd just be such a
come
shame
and take
to
it.
See your studio disappear, because I've seen like shots of that studio.
And it's
a
nice
documentary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, she saw Derek Chae's Victimless Crime Spree. She saw the LRN studio, Free Talk Live studio.
Rad.
It's pretty cushy.
That'll be a sad day when that studio disappears.
But the thing is, like, I've done the footwork to where like now all the activists can have like a portable studio. Like I've got a mic. I could be up in an hour if my house got raided and the computers and everything was gone, because I've got one of those mics cached at a friend's house.
Night.
With an old Windows computer. Like, literally, yeah, I could be up.
You have a Comrex there?
Oh, yeah, we don't need a Comrex because we have a... I'm using a Comrex now because it's a little better, but we have... I bought a computer that's a Fiend phone server at GCN. So, like, I own a computer that's sitting in a rack at GCN and it's running Fiend phone. So, we could do the show with any Windows computer without... I could do it with a headset mic, man. I'm that good. So, let's talk about feminism. Or was that the topic or something else? I don't know.
So, yeah, we kind of left off on Emma Sulkowitz, also known as Mattress Girl. And I am kind of careful about calling people who claim they've been raped a liar. But there are a lot of serious circumstances surrounding her situation that I think make her look more untrustworthy. But I think you can say that women face some serious problems in the world, not just the U.S., but in the world. And that, it's okay to talk about those problems and bring light to those problems, maybe without using the term feminism or without being hysterical about it, without saying that, oh, you looking at me is somehow equivalent to rape. I think there's a balance you can find, because, I still think there is a problem with rape being underreported. For example, in situations that, like Mattress Girl, don't really help that when you have someone who may be making false claims against people who aren't rapists, it discourages people from coming out. And I've pulled up some statistics here, and they're from RAIN, which Diana, you mentioned earlier, and they may not have the most spot on statistics, but I'm gonna go off some of what they're saying about rape. So it's talking about out of every 100 rapes, about 32 get reported to police, 7 lead to an arrest, 3 are referred to prosecutors, 2 lead to a felony conviction, and 2 rapists will spend a single day in prison, and the other 98 will walk free. Now, I need to verify. These are coming from the Justice Department and the FBI and, Uniform Crime Reports and arrest data. And that's still unacceptable to me. I mean, as far as rape goes, I don't want to go so far as to say we live in a rape culture, but I still think there is a stigma against women who claim to be raped and men, too. I think it also makes it less likely that I think men don't have as much of an easy time coming forward and admitting that they've been raped because of some of the gendered expectations we still have. And again, whether or not feminism is a solution to that, I can't really say, but I would like to see a more equitable society where people feel safe coming forward, saying, this happened to me and I want justice for it.
Well, I think there's, feminism gets in the way of a proper conversation. So in a lot of surveys regarding sexual assault, they include unwanted touching as rape. So when you look at the RAIN.org site, they were in the news, I don't know, I think it was just about 4 or 5 months ago, where they made a statement against rape culture and said that the concept of rape culture was unhelpful in trying to assist actual victims of rape. And they were lambasted by the feminists. So even the organization that's known as the top organization for helping actual victims of rape were basically being attacked by feminists for not supporting a narrative which is getting in the way of solving actual problems. So I guess it comes down to how do we have real conversations about this, when you have people coming in with confirmation bias and agendas. And my perspective is, why are they doing it is the main question. You know, if people are doing something that's actually preventing solving a problem that they claim to care about, why would they do it? And I really do think that it comes down to money, that we've got people who've taken an education in women's studies and basically chosen to be an expert in themselves, what it's like to be a woman. And now they have to make a living at it. So they're willing to say and do anything.
That's interesting.
Even if it prevents the thing they're supposedly caring about from being dealt with.
And I would say what comes out of that, you've seen a rise in what's known as gender feminism. And this kind of comes out of, you know, different identity politics type movements where they collectivize, oh, all women, we speak for all women, and they all suffer this. And it's a very radical kind of extreme approach. And they're still using a lot of false statistics and putting a lot of bad information out there. And there is a small contingent of equity feminists who really are concerned with, you know, why aren't there equal rights for fathers, for example, when it comes to custody cases. And there are feminists who are working against a lot of these, you know, gender ideas that, you know, maybe pressure men to not report rapes if it happens to them. And, you know, there are feminists working, I think, towards really good things, and they're not the loudest voices. And a lot of times they're seen as, or even some of them even call themselves dissident feminists, like Camille Paglia or Christina Hoff Sommers is actually a really, she has some really great work, and she gets, she has to take security when she speaks at colleges because of the threats that she's gotten from college feminists. And those college feminists she tend to be the more gender feminists.
She was asked why she even calls herself a feminist, Christina Hoff Sommers. And she did a video on it, and it finished with, if nothing else, it makes them really angry.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think a lot of feminists do try and wear that word sort of as a badge, that they're trying to reclaim it. Know that they're trying to put a positive spin on something that they think is negative. I want to use that word and change its meaning a little bit.
Or they subscribe to an earlier meaning of the word that is more consistent and more in line with, I would say, individualist libertarian principles. And they're wanting to reclaim that. If you look at some of the earlier feminists, even some of the anarcho-feminists, they like Emma Goldman, there's some great work as far as women's liberation in a time where women were actually physically prevented from working, from getting bank accounts, from, you know, all of these actual things. You know, they were beaten for trying to register to vote. You know, they were physically attacked by people. So there's a strong, you know, I think there's some strong arguments to be made for individualist feminism and anarcho-feminism. And I think, unfortunately, the narrative has been hijacked by radical kind of hysterical feminists and shifted in a direction that to where they see oppression around every corner, to where, you know, they're so afraid of walking out at night because we live in this rape culture. Well, yeah, you do have to be worried if you're going out alone as a woman, but do we live in a rape culture? I don't know if I would agree with that. I wouldn't take it that far. I think the amount of rape is completely unacceptable, but we don't live in a culture that condones it. We have to the problems with rape come from the systemic abuses of the institutions that were based on very horrible principles. You have like police agencies who have, you know, extremely racist, sexist roots. You know, they're not going to be helpful for pursuing rapists and the injustice system. And it goes all the way up because that comes from a lot of problematic principles and practices over hundreds of years. So.
Well, and keep in mind, too, that men are the primary victims of violence. Like, sure, there's rape and stuff, but men are actually the main victims of violence in the world.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
I want cats to wear more. Wow. Make some other noise. You guys bring that. Pigeon noises. All right, so Diana had a really good idea. She said we should talk about movies that promote statelessness or anarchy the good way. Not people think anarchy means chaos. No, it means the lack of kings pointing swords at your head. When you go to a family picnic, you're having anarchy. There's no government there telling you what to do. And when you go to Pork Fest, you're really having anarchy because, like, you're even buying like uninspected bacon from Mark Edge or something. Uninspected
bacon. I want that.
I do too.
It's good.
It is. And it's probably, you know,
it is inspected. It's just not inspected by the government people. Yeah. It's inspected by the right people.
Yeah. Someone wrote me and told me about some non-nitrate bacon. It's Hormel, Hormel brand. Is non.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It's non-nitrate, so I'm saved, man. I don't have to give up nitrates. I don't have to give up bacon. So, and bacon is anarchy. You know, it's like the new. It's there the new go. Donuts. So, let's see. I like Derek Jay's movie Victimless Crime Spree, which you can get from victimlesscrimespree.com.
That's the one. It's free. You can watch the whole thing for free.
You can also buy a DVD of it.
Yay!
And
if you really like it, that's the thing to do, and then you can share it with your friends.
Yep, and I got a movie that's free that's also you can buy a DVD of. It's called Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom from GunsandWeed.com. But actually, I made a director's cut of it. Like, I made that movie when I was a minarchist, and then I showed it at Porkfest last year, and while I was watching it, I was like, man, they're sure talking about the Constitution in here and, like, government-granted rights a lot. I'm gonna make a shorter edit of this without all that crap. So I got home and...
There you go.
And, like, I did the whole thing in my brain on the ride home on the plane, like, how I was going to do it. Then I got home and did it that night, and it's, like, it's 17 minutes shorter, and it's a lot better. It's, like, nice. It's like,
At Porkfest could the producer of the movie Guns and Weed feel like a square. Like,
yeah,
I'm too constitutionalist.
My movie right? Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom is too square. Not just for that crowd, but for me. And so I did the director's cut, which is Guns, Weed, and Anarchy, The Road to Freedom. So, but then there's other movies, like you mentioned Woody Allen's Bananas from the 70s. It's a good movie.
Hilarious. Yeah, he plays a dictator. From, like, Banana Republic.
He kind of plays an accidental dictator, too. He becomes a dictator by accident trying to impress a girl. That's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. That's always with Woody Allen. That's all it is.
Yep. So, Diana, what's...
Terry Gilliam's Brazil.
That's a weird movie.
You've got Robert De Niro playing a renegade plumber, right? So the system set up in the movie, so if your plumbing goes out, then you have to call Central, and then they take forever to send somebody out, and they have to have all these forms signed, and they don't actually fix things properly.
Yeah, because
so in the meantime, state. De Niro shows up. He's the renegade plumber. He doesn't get paid for it. He just goes in and fixes
he's
stuff.
He's a stateless plumber.
Annoy the government.
Yeah, we have friends that do things like that.
He used to work for them, and he couldn't stand all the forms and stuff.
Derek, didn't you know people that did haircuts, unlicensed haircuts, as activism?
I did unlicensed haircuts. Yeah. I was in the Associated Press for it.
Because you need a license in New Hampshire to do haircuts, right?
Not anymore. Oh, yeah, that's one of those things where the political people, and this is something I didn't mention before. Like, Diana was saying how it doesn't make sense to have an anarchy party, and I agree with that. That's why the anarchists in New Hampshire run as Republicans and Democrats. the people who go and pull the lever for the red or blue, they don't know the difference. So, you know, these freedom people, they get elected by accident, basically, and then they make freedom happen. So no more licenses required for... Like most small business things, like a guy did a civil disobedience manicure a few years ago here in Keene, out in the town.
Like in front of the city hall or something, wasn't it? Yeah.
Square. That wouldn't help do that. So, all right. Yeah. Well, it was right in front of city hall.
So, MK, what's your anarchy movie?
Yeah.
So I've got a couple. I always thought the Blues Brothers was pretty anarchy-like because they break a bunch of laws and knock some Nazis off of a bridge. So yeah. They don't end up
even though
they don't end up getting away in the end.
Even though the whole and I know the whole goal
is to help, you know, paying taxes. I know, but they do some cool stuff.
And they have a really cool car chase. And they smash like 164 police cars. So
they do. But Equilibrium is my other favorite for a dystopian future that shows what happens when you ban all these beautiful things we were talking about before, books and art and music.
Oh, and really Demolition Man.
My YouTube quote of the week for my channel is that Stephen Molyneux is like Dr. Phil meets L. Ron Hubbard.
Yep, I'm in Demolition Man, actually. We'll talk about that later. But that movie's great. That's all about banning, too, and what stupid results are of banning things. Yeah.
It's not good.
Good show.
It's good to feel feelings.
Good show. Good having Diane on. I think she passed the audition again.
Well, now I'm on Fiend Phone.
Yeah.
So much better.
It is better.
Yeah.
All right. Feminism, LOL. Check it out. TheDerekJ.me.com.